For our scripture this morning, please turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Taking a brief break from our study of Genesis. We were at Genesis chapter 8. And this is the passage chosen by our elders to be the theme for our home visiting this year. Just want to focus in on that together this morning. Colossians chapter 1 in our Pew Bibles, page 1352. 1352. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Hear the word of God, the living word of the living God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the world, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So far, from the Holy Word of God, our text, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day we had the privilege of witnessing the ordination of an elder. Our brother Colin was ordained to the task set apart with the responsibility of watching out for our souls, being an under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging us in him with the gospel, encouraging us and equipping us to the ministry that has been entrusted to all of us together. Well, today, with the coming of September, we carry on something in that vein. And with the beginning of a new season, with the beginning of new opportunities for study, with the beginning of a new season of home visiting on the part of the elders, we want to focus here this morning on these words from Colossians chapter 1 to equip us for our life together as God's people. And I believe these words in particular are very helpful. Our elders have chosen this portion of Scripture because we believe this is a great encouragement for us in these particular days. These are words that equip us to be God's disciples. They equip us to be disciple-making disciples in the midst of this world. That's something that we want to be thinking about a lot, I trust, and your elders want to be thinking about that with you, what it is to be a disciple, and a disciple who is a disciple-making disciple. And these words I would submit to you are particularly encouraging for us in light of today, in light of what we go through in our day and age. There is so much confusion. There is so much fear. There is a lot of anger and frustration in the world around us. And certainly as things go on in the world around us, you also get the sense, if you pay any attention, that the powers that be, so to speak, the movers and the shakers in the culture, the media of our day and age, think very, very, very little of us. They think the church is irrelevant. They think the church is insignificant, has no usefulness or no purpose. So you can gather together if you wish, but just keep it to yourself. We need to be encouraged here by the word that is given to us, that the church is not irrelevant, that the church is God's work in the earth, and God is at work in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to be encouraged by that. Now, we've read a long, relatively long, as epistles go, chapter in the Bible, 29 verses of Colossians chapter 1. Again, that is a rather broad swath. This is a huge chunk of material. And I acknowledge, were we to seek to go granular with regard to the teaching of each verse and parse every phrase, we would be here for a very, very long time. There is enough here for a lifetime of meditation and reflection and sweet comfort in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My intention instead is to try to give you a glimpse, a summary glimpse that gives us a sense of the glory and the beauty of Christ and the glory and the beauty of the gospel of Christ and its power and our part in it as disciples who are disciple-making disciples. And by way of this extended introduction this morning, I sort of want to give us a way into the text. And I submit to you, though we have declared verse 27 as sort of the focus, our theme for this approach, when we look carefully at Colossians chapter 1, it's verses 15 through 20 in particular that is the heart of the passage, because they direct our attention to Jesus in all of His beauty and glory. And this whole passage, this whole book of the Bible, the whole Bible is about Jesus. So let's just hone in at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Effectively, that's telling us He's God in the flesh. And when it says He's the firstborn of all creation, as it goes on to explain what He does as the firstborn of all creation, it's not to suggest He is a created being. All things were made through Him. He was not created. He existed in eternity as the second person of the Trinity. Verse 16, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Just highlight that again. By Him, through Him, for Him. As Mark Jones says in his wonderful book, Knowing Christ, Jesus didn't so much come into this world for us as we came into this world for Jesus. That needs to be our focus, a great sense of awe and wonder at the glory and beauty of Jesus. All things by Him, through Him, for Him. Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Other translations say, in Him all things hold together. He's got this. He's got the whole world in His hands. In light of everything we experience, the world around us, all things hold together in Him. And He's the head of the body. Now that's kind of striking. We're going on with Paul here about the glory, the majesty, the eternal splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd expect at this point something like, He's the head of the whole universe to be said, which is true. But then it says He's the head of the body, the church, which is to say that He has His sights set on us, which is to say that our place here, small as we are, is not insignificant or inconsequential. Christ is the head of the body. Verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, things made in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now that's to have the focus on Jesus. And then Paul says, verse 21, and you who were alienated, once alienated and enemies in your mind, He has now reconciled. And here we learn, if we make life to be centered upon ourselves, if we make ourselves the center of life, we get turned in on ourselves, and the result is ugly and destructive. But if we make the Lord Jesus Christ the center of our lives, there's great meaning and purpose for us, for you, he says. And then applying that, just jumping then to verse 27, coming out from the middle, jumping to verse 27, we're talking about the glory of the mystery of the gospel that has been revealed. And what is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a big picture. And now what we want to do in the remainder of this sermon is to go back and see what that means for us, see what that looks like, and to tease out some of those implications from the rest of the chapter. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in the first place, we'll take up at verse 3 and we'll speak of praising God for what we have in Christ. Praising God for what we have in Christ. Paul says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints and because of the hope. The Apostle Paul is ecstatic as he's heard about the Colossians. The gospel has come to them and they received it. They understood it by the work of the Spirit. Gentiles have come to Christ, and the Apostle Paul is thrilled. He gives thanks. He gives thanks to God because this is a work of God's grace. God is at work. He gives thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because this is a blessing that is known only in, through, and because of Jesus, because of the gospel in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And when he thinks about these things, he's especially thankful for, verse 4 goes on, your faith in Christ, your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There's that familiar triad we saw last week in 1 Thessalonians 5 as well. Usually we hear it faith, hope, and love, but here it is faith, love, and hope. Paul gives thanks for that reality because it's God-given. And where did they come to know? How did they come to know that blessing? Well, he says, verse 6, it's come to you by the word of the truth of the gospel. That was verse 5. And that gospel is bringing forth fruit because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It's been at work among you. And the Apostle Paul praises God. He says, because you heard and you knew the grace of God. You came to experience that and know that for yourself. Praise be to God for the gospel. And that was a blessing, he said, you learned from Epaphras. Epaphras. Epaphras heard the gospel, we understand, from the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. And then he took that gospel to another place, and now others have believed. Now, here's a question for us to reflect upon as disciple-making disciples. Maybe you could reflect on who was your Epaphras? Who was the one used of the Lord to help you to understand the gospel? And let me push it a little bit further. To whom are you an Epaphras? With whom are you sharing the gospel? Parents, I trust we're doing that with our children, to be sure. But I also challenge us to be those who are self-consciously working and praying in terms of relationships the Lord enables us to have, that we may be such Epaphrases who bring this good news of the gospel, a gospel that is powerful to bring us into a life of thanksgiving to God. Paul, I said, can't get over this. He is overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Now, the question again for us is, are we thankful like that? And maybe another question for us to think about is, what am I thankful for? And let's also be honest, and speaking for myself, too often when we're asked a question, what am I thankful for? Maybe we ask it among ourselves. Maybe the elders will ask it of you. Maybe your neighbor asks you that from time. What are you thankful for? And too often, far too often, we stay on the level of generalities and superficialities. Well, I'm thankful for my health. I've got good health. I've got a job. I've got a loving family. Things are going well for me. My business is doing well. I'm so thankful for that. Well, to be sure, all of these things are things for which to be thankful. But that's not how you hear the Apostle Paul speaking, is it? What happens when you lose your health? What happens if you don't have a family, have no friends? What happens when you lose your job? What happens if the whole economy tanks in the face of all that's going on here in this pandemic? What are you thankful for? Well, Apostle Paul has shown us here. We're thankful for Jesus. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, we know Jesus is the right answer. Maybe you've heard the story of the Sunday school class and the Sunday school teacher who was explaining to the class this thing. The teacher said, this thing is black and furry with a long bushy tail with four legs, and it chatters and it runs up and down the trees and it collects nuts. And the kids just scratched their heads and they couldn't for the life of them understand what the teacher was talking about. And the teacher went on with more descriptions about this furry little creature. And finally one little smart aleck put up his hand and said, "Teacher, we know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel." Now, when we ask the question, what are you thankful for? And we come into your homes to ask this question and to have this discussion, we know the answer is Jesus. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But how do we have that sense? How do we have that sense? That it's just Jesus that's rolling off of our tongue and we're delivered from the bane of generalities about our health and about the weather. Well, you remember. You prayerfully seek to remember what we see, for instance, at verse 13. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Never forget. It's in Jesus, verse 14, that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. You remember verse 21. You, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. And it doesn't matter if for a number of us here we would say, well, you know, I grew up in a covenant home and there's a sense in which there was never a day when I didn't know the Lord. It doesn't matter. This is still the reality for us as we understand ourselves. We were by nature alienated and enemies in our minds from God by our wicked works. He has reconciled us to Himself. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thanks be to God. This is what we give thanks for. This is what helps us to move beyond generalities. We can have that only through prayer. Are these the things we're giving thanks for? As Paul has enumerated them, especially in the verses 3 through 8. That brings us to verse 9, the verses 9 through 14 or so, our second point this morning, praying for a walk worthy of Christ. You learn something else from the Apostle Paul here, that there is something of a dance between thankfulness and prayer. Because Paul is so thankful, he says he prays. And when he prays, you see verse 9 compared to verse 12, when he prays, he's thankful. There's a reciprocal relationship between thankfulness and prayer. And now he's going to bring this matter all to prayer. He's so thankful for these people in Colossae, and now he wants to pray for them earnestly. Verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." We never stop. That's a challenge for all of us if we want to be disciple-making disciples in terms of every relationship the Lord enables us to have. He says, "I never stop praying." He's earnest in prayer because he knows the blessing doesn't come from himself. The blessing comes from God. Now again, if we look at what the Apostle Paul goes on to speak about in verses 9 through 12, let's say, we might ask ourselves the question, what are we praying for? do we not learn from what the Apostle Paul deems to be of central importance? I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, verse 9 goes on, with the knowledge of his will. I want you to know God and his purposes, his glorious purposes in the earth. And I want you to know this blessing in all wisdom, he says, and spiritual understanding. When the word wisdom is used, we're speaking about a practical, experiential understanding of these things. It's not just information. I know God, and I live in the blessing and joy of knowing him, and I want to know him better. And I want it to come to expression in a life lived for his glory. Think of Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. We should never boast in our wisdom or in our might or in our riches. He who boasts, let him boast that he knows me, says the Lord. That's effectively what the Apostle Paul is praying for. Why? Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. You want to walk worthy of the Lord. Lord, we want to live our lives in such a way that our lives don't detract from the glory of your name or don't bring dishonor and shame to your name. We want to walk worthy of the Lord. Think of a young man who inherited the business of his father. His father was a well-known businessman and a capable craftsman. And then the son took over, and he was a schlep in terms of business and incapable in terms of craftsmanship. And you would say his work was not worthy of the name of his father's business. And we want our lives to be worthy of the Lord. We want our lives to be pleasing to him. We don't want it said behind our backs, and he calls himself a Christian. Can you believe it? That's not worthy of the Lord and of the good news of the gospel. So living fully pleasing to God also means being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We have never yet arrived in terms of our understanding of the glory and beauty of God. We want, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our God and Savior. Colossians 3, verse 16, we want the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And so we sit under the Word. We study the Word. We gather together in studies and in catechism classes and what opportunities the Lord gives us. We want to grow in understanding. We want to know Him better. What happens when all of that takes place? Verse 11 goes on and explains, well, then you're strengthened with all might. God empowers you and upholds you in His strength to do His will. He does this according to his glorious power, verse 11 goes on. And this is for all patience, that is a sense of perseverance and long suffering. It's not always going to be easy to be a Christian and together to be disciple-making disciples, but we may do so with long suffering, with joy. Again, giving thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's qualified us. We were unworthy. Our walk was completely unworthy of the gospel, unworthy of the Lord who saved us, but he has qualified us. It's all grace. It's all his amazing grace that we may stand right before him, forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that sense, we're fully qualified. But when we speak of his having qualified us for this inheritance, we may also go on to appreciate that by this amazing grace of God in Christ, we are qualified, we are equipped for the work by the strength that he gives us with perseverance and long suffering and joy. How many times do we find ourselves scrimping from our responsibilities and opportunities as witness bearers in this world because we think we are not qualified? Because we think it's beyond our pay grade? Because we think we don't have it within us? You need to understand that Christ is who He says He is, by Him, through Him. For Him are all things. He qualifies us for this inheritance. You have what you need in Him. And that is our earnest prayer, along with the Apostle Paul. And the challenge for us, as we seek to apply this to ourselves, is to ask, is this our prayer? Are these the things we're praying for on a regular basis? Because it's when we pray for these things that we have the growing sense of the privilege that is ours. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not me, it's Christ. So finally, our third point is what disciple-making discipleship looks like. Is that because we know Christ is in us, the hope of glory, we are also then in the third place here proclaiming the riches of the glory in Christ. I'm just going to take in what the Apostle Paul says about himself in the verses 24 through 29. Verse 24, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. This is a life of sacrificial service. This is the Apostle Paul pouring himself out for the sake of the riches of the glory of Christ, out of love for the church. Now, I want to submit to you that when he goes on to speak at verse 28, him we preach, that the language of we there takes this beyond himself. And I believe also beyond him and Timothy that are referenced in 1 verse 1. There's definitely a sense in which this life of pouring yourself out for the well-being of the body is an expectation of every disciple making disciple. And we can understand, we can appreciate that it will mean costly labor. It will mean difficulty. It will mean hardship. There will be suffering. But the blessing that he speaks about in verse 27, to make known to the saints what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, the glory of the gospel in Christ, among the Gentiles. That is to say, the word is still to go out into all the world. What was said to the Apostle Paul about the church in Corinth in Acts 18 verse 10 is still true of us to this day. God would say, with regard to Brampton, I have many people in this city. Speak and do not be afraid. And Paul sums it up for us so gloriously at verse 28. Him we preach. We don't preach ourselves. That'd be just plain silly. And that's encouraging because we don't have to preach ourselves. We just have to open our mouths and speak about Jesus. Him we preach. It's all Him. It's all Jesus. He gets all the glory. Verse 28 goes on, warning every man and teaching every man. We need to be praying and working that we are equipped to be warners and teachers. We speak of the reality of the wrath to come. We teach the gospel, the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And then he says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's why we realize that discipleship, discipling, by us as his disciples, goes beyond training our children. We're talking about every man. We're talking about everyone we meet as we have opportunity. This is our prayer and our goal. Him we proclaim. We point to Jesus. He is so gloriously beautiful and sovereign and kind. Him we proclaim. And be encouraged, as every one of us must also together take up this responsibility. Be encouraged in the hope that the Apostle Paul could also speak about in the last verse of the chapter. This is what I labor toward. Warning, teaching, presenting every man mature in Christ. We want everybody to take a step toward Jesus, growing in grace. Unbelievers, believers alike. This is what I do, he says. I toil and I struggle, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. He's not left to himself, and neither are we. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Good and gracious, sovereign Lord, we praise you for Jesus. He has the preeminence. He has the first place. He is God. He is the Savior of his people. He is the one who's building his church and accomplishing great things in the world. And Lord Jesus, by your precious blood, you have redeemed us. And we live in the joy and blessing of knowing it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We pray that you would enable us to be able to say, as Paul said in another place, I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. May it be, Lord, that the lives we live for the glory of the Son of God. You've put us here for Jesus, and Jesus is doing a glorious work, and what a privilege it is to be part of it. We thank you, Jesus, that you have loved us and given yourself for us. We pray that you'd bless our life together as your people. Bless our witness, bless our discipling. Bless the season of home visitation. Bless us in every way that we may have a growing sense of awe at the glory of the gospel, and that we may be eager to proclaim it. Him we preach. Help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.